And it's Inca Youth Empowerment Program checking out with Big Blue Wave. This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. This is Geek Speak. Support for Geek Speak comes from Marble Charter School, a public school serving Crystal River Valley students from kindergarten through 8th grade and offering daily busing from Carbondale Middle School. Marble Charter School offers a unique nurturing environment while exceeding state standards. Enrollment is now open for the 2018-2019 school year. Tours available and more. More info at 963-9550 or email marblecharter@gunnisonschools.net. Support also comes from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992.
Good memory, Matt.
Thank you. This is Geek Speak with a special guest, Jonathan Stokely from the Small Business Development Center and Glen X.
Hello, and thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. Pleasure.
Couldn't you get the word incubator into your name? Wouldn't that be cool?
Incubator Solutions?
Small Business Incubator.
We are part of the incubator pitch competition is why I'm here.
Oh.
If that helps.
I knew there was, I knew that incubator was kind of like stuck in my memory cells there.
Not to be confused with the accelerator, which is a different program through Glen X.
Whoa. How about an accelerated incubator?
We're working on that one.
Okay. Nice. That's a 2.0 product.
More to come.
All right.
Very cool. Stay tuned.
All right. So you're in week three of your pitch competition.
Yes. Right? We are headed towards the semifinals this Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Third Street Center. We've started with about 30 competitors from week one. And
30 competitors?
30 competitors. Okay. We had signed up all together.
All right.
So through a little bit of natural attrition, as happens when one's trying to start their own business, we've down to about 15 finalists that are competing. Okay.
There's a part of me that really wants to go, what's the best idea and what's the most ridiculous idea? But I don't want to, I won't put you in that spot.
They're all great ideas. And okay. I can say I'm very privileged to honestly be able to say that, having worked with small business development for so long.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Anyway, I'm sorry for interrupting
you. Oh, no, go you're ahead. Fine. Yeah. So this Thursday, the 15 competitors will be competing to decide who the top five finalists are and who will go to the final round of competition next Thursday to win the $10,000 grand prize.
Very nice. And this is a public event, right?
This is a public event, and we've actually put some of the onus on the competitors to get the audience filled with their supporters, because the audience members gets 50% of the vote.
Okay. So you're actually looking for people to stack the deck is what you're saying, huh?
I'm not necessarily
saying that.
You don't
want to put it that way. Okay.
But marketing is a popularity contest, and it's one of the keys to business. You can have the best idea in the world, but if you can't get anybody to believe in it or stand behind it, nobody's going to buy anything. So
okay. Got it.
That's where the marketing portion. Trying to get some real business values in there.
Okay. Very good. Okay. And this is going to be in the large space at the Third Street Center?
Yes, it is.
This Thursday night at?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. Okay. So if any one of our listeners want to get involved, and even if you know somebody who's participating in this competition, you want to go down and support them, you can do that in a very pointed way.
Highly encouraged.
Yeah. Very nice. And now, have you had did you start out with another public event, similar thing, where there was an audience involved, or has it all been pretty much more of a workshop environment up to this point?
It's been mostly a workshop environment. Okay. The first event on that Thursday, the first Thursday of the month, definitely felt like an audience with the 30 people plus some stragglers.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really good development, teaching the basics of 30-second pitch, really stating the problem, solution, why should somebody care about it, and what the takeaway is, so they could go up and really be prepared to talk to anybody about their idea.
Okay, cool.
And since then, we've taken it and broken their idea down into a little more complex business-type setting, looking at the marketing, the financials, the costs, what they're going to do to get people to buy, really, mm-hmm. and convince investors to give them money. And so they'll be presenting their pitch deck this Thursday. So
okay.
really taking these ideas from idea to inception.
Got it. Well, you know, if I wasn't going to be down in Denver helping my daughter have a baby, I would probably go to that.
Well, I appreciate the support, but it sounds like that might be a little worth or a cause. She might be a little upset if you weren't.
Well, and, you know, you get a certain number of demerits if you're not there for things like that, you know.
And it only happens so many times
in life.
I'm
all about that, you know. So it's all about my social media rating. So anyway, any questions?
No, I think we're in good shape.
Yeah.
You're listening to Geekspeed on KDNK. Call in with your questions for Jonathan Stokely about GlenX, the upcoming thing this show this Thursday at Third Street Center, and or with a tech question for Louie or I.
Yeah, 970-963-2976. And are any of your competitors doing anything with social media?
There are a couple things to do with social media, but
like any that are like have a whole new platform idea or anything quite that groundbreaking.
Yes, one of our competitors has come up with something called the Bonedale Tribe, which is a way for local people to get their voice out in the community. With the Valley having three newspapers, the stories can be kind of slanted towards one end of the Valley or the other. And with such rich stories here to tell in Carbondale and other communities just like ours, it's a really good way for us to kind of get out there and explore who the people are that actually make up our community.
Okay. Wow, that's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because as we all know, as we were discussing before the show, the perils of using a more widely used platform like Facebook, for instance, you know, it's my take on the Facebook news today is that it just seems to me like they grew like Facebook. Like Facebook could have used some of the planning that you guys are in, you know, like helping people to, you know, think about all these different little pieces and parts. And, you know, it just I see some of these stories and like the story today, apparently about 50 million people had their data harvested from their Facebook accounts, and that data was used to target presidential campaign advertising.
I think that's what I heard.
That's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah, and the problem is that I guess there wasn't any kind of real agreement on the part of the people whose data had been mined or whatever you want to call it, harvested.
Stolen, that they
were okay. Yeah, exactly. It feels to me, it's like I see like one of the biggest perils of a new startup company is they just, they get too big for their britches.
Yeah.
And, things can get out of hand in a hurry. There was a business a number of years ago that, a friend of mine was involved in where, you know, they kind of started out in a really small location and, you know, hadn't really gotten things fine tuned in that small location. And all of a sudden went, I'm moving into this new place that's six times as big, you know? And I'm like, don't you think maybe we want to like get it fine tuned so it's like working right little place, you know?
and that's kind of the theory behind businesses, which do you want to go as run as fast as you can or grow incrementally manageable?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and then an IPO throws an entire other ball, you know, can of worms at you while you're trying to grow your business if you decide to go that route when IPO is initial public stock offering.
Oh, yeah. Well, as somebody who worked at Groupon when there was only 400 employees at Groupon and within a year grew to over 10,000 right before they did the IPO, that was one of the biggest tanks as far as IPOs go. It's impressive to see a company that just spirals out of control so fast like that and can't seem to keep the financials on the rails.
Yep, definitely. So did you hear, Facebook's stock went down 6.8% today. I don't know if you heard that or not.
I did not hear that. I'm surprised that's all.
I don't think I have the number right in front of me at the moment, but would you care to guess how much money that is?
I'm going to guess it's close to 1 point something billion.
No, it's like 38 billion. So it's real easy for us to all sit here and, you know, in the comfort of our studio and go, oh, their stock fell 6.8%, but that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. $38 billion.
That's
a lot of imaginary money out there.
It is a lot of imaginary money, definitely.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976. So do either of you manage your privacy policies on Facebook?
Yes.
All right.
I'm a private.
Yep.
You know how I manage mine?
Just let it do whatever it does?
I don't use it.
That's a good way to do it.
Smart. I wish I could break away.
So if you do want to manage it, you can go to the little down arrow at the top menu, go to settings, and then go over to privacy, and it'll give you some options about who can see what in there. You can manage who can see your future posts, who can see your activity logs, who can send you friend requests, who can see your friends lists, and so on and so forth. So I encourage you to go check that out and make sure that those settings are in line with your personal wishes and for information to be out there and go from there.
Well, even then, depending on some of the apps you're using, they have their own personal private policies.
Yeah, I don't have any apps on my Facebook. I simply use it to stay in touch with people from high school and things of that nature.
Smart.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head there, Jonathan. My understanding is that that there was an external vehicle for this whole Facebook thing. And it was basically one of these Snap-on apps plug-in apps that was created. So I don't think that the Facebook privacy policies actually manage, that.
And that's
if somebody pointedly asks you, like, you know, what color is your dog? And you type in black and white spots. And the Facebook policy does not jump in and say, hey, you said you don't want to share anything about your dog, So it's, people really got to be on their toes about, understanding that relationship between social media and those apps. So what do you know about that, Jonathan? Are the apps all third-party developers?
I think almost like 99% of the apps are third-party developers, and even then, there's a lot of the ads that you see that get posted on Facebook aren't necessarily for real companies. I know Facebook's struggling to manage the number of people that give them money to advertise, but yet they aren't necessarily legitimate sources. So you need to be careful out there. And not to mention even viruses potentially embedded in videos and links that are shared gets posted. Mm-hmm. Your friend's account gets hacked. They post a link and you click on that link. And before you know it, your computer gets taken over by malware.
Yeah, God knows we talk about that on here all the time. We're constantly warning people, It's I've always wanted to like get a hold of the infidel that created Candy Crush and just throttle the guy,
He's on his private island somewhere.
Oh my God. I'm just, how many Candy Crush invitations I get on a weekly basis? It's ridiculous. And I'm like, look at me. Do I look like a Candy Crush kind of guy?
I believe there's a way you can block those third-party app requests.
So. Uh-huh. Okay.
I think it's under
If I would just go into my privacy settings. Right. Yeah. So we were talking a little bit about Bumble before the show. And, I think... dating apps, or would you call it a dating app, or is it a dating website?
It's an app.
Yeah.
But I guess you have to download it, so it's an app.
Yeah. So is it all being done? I mean, can you log on to the Bumble website? Is there like Bumble.com? I think that, first of all, I think that's kind of a crazy name, don't you think? Because it's like only bumbling idiots need apply, right?
Or get stung.
Exactly. Yeah. So... But anyway, so Bumble is kind of like it's very similar to Tinder. And I hate to say this, though. I mean, Tinder has kind of a bad rep, isn't it? Isn't like Tinder like the quick and easy one-stop shop of hooking up? Isn't that kind of the idea?
It's gotten that rep, but I actually do know several people who have gotten together and even married because they met on Tinder.
Okay.
So it does have those benefits, but yeah, it does have a bad rap for being a hookup app.
Okay, got it. But Bumble was started by one of the creators of Tinder, and it has a completely I don't want to say backwards because that would, you know, indicate some sort of polarization in our society, but it does it the opposite of how a lot of the other apps do. Or actually, I guess most of the apps, you can tell how much time I've spent on dating apps, married guy here, but you can, so basically in the communication can be initiated either direction, right? Between male or the female?
I suppose.
Okay.
Swipe left or right.
Come on, Matt. Don't.
No.
I'm just kidding. Matt just got engaged, by the way.
So, congratulations. Yeah,
thank you.
I just got to save the date in the mail. So, but anyway, on Bumble, the female has to initiate the conversation. So she can just, like, you know, get on there and troll around and, you know.
Not be worried about guys harassing her.
Exactly. So, you know, it occurs to me because in the same context, the same conversation my daughter and I were having about Bumble. She was talking about a seminar that she went to by a guy who was like a profiler. And he basically was a multiple day thing, and he invited anybody to bring a picture of somebody in their life in. And he would basically sit there and look at the picture and tell them the life story that, or, you know, tell them all about that person. And she said he nailed it every time.
Really?
It was absolutely spooky.
Wait, are you familiar with the term catfishing?
No, uh-uh.
Oh, so this is a fun one. They've actually even turned it into a show on MTV. I had the unfortunate time of flipping through and finding it. But catfishing is when somebody represents themselves differently on Tinder or their online profile than they are actually in real life. So they might put a picture of somebody who's more attractive up, and then when you go on a date, it's not.
Oh, yeah, it's actually a different picture.
Yeah, a different picture.
Oh, okay. Because, I mean, people lie on there all the time about it. It's like, yeah, I'm super active, super athletic, you know.
Yeah.
This is like, no, yeah, I actually have all my teeth.
Yeah, right? You're not a supermodel.
Oh, okay. That's a good term to know, catfishing.
So it's an extension of phishing, P-H-I-S-H.
Oh, yeah. Does it have a P in it? A cat?
It makes sense if fishing? It did, though. I'm not for sure on the phonetics on that one, but I
can't remember.
Yes.
I think I've seen something for the show as well. Yeah, catfishing is where, like, somebody misrepresents their identity to somebody else, and they become emotionally invested in the lie, and
yeah, like the one,
or can't, or they just, you know, can't ever line up to get to meet up in person because, you know, they're going to catch the other person in the lie, and the other person just keeps on stringing them along.
Fishing. Yeah, my friend forced me to watch a few minutes of it, and it turns out that the one girl had catfished her best friend and made up a fake profile about it. And this whole relationship, and they had been dating online. You can't see my air quotes, but dating online for 8 months.
So she was acting like a guy?
Yeah.
And she was having a relationship with her.
And she even, when the catfishing crew got winding around it to catch her, she even had a different guy show up and claim it was him. And then their other friend busted them all.
Oh my God.
I can't tell if it was actual or MTV fake news.
Yeah, scripted.
It looked like fake news.
That's funny. Wow. Yeah, it looks like it can be spelled with a PH or an F, either one. Not that it really matters.
PH is more fun. Yeah.
But no, that's hilarious. My brother actually moved to St. George, Utah a number of years ago to be with the girl of his dreams that he met on. It wasn't Match.com, I don't think. What's one of the other ones?
Zoosk?
No, it was one of
eHarmony?
eHarmony, that's what it was, eHarmony. And very quickly found that, you know, he was out on a hike with her one day, and she got a phone call from her dad, and she says, oh, yeah, we're on a hike. Michael likes to do that. And that's my brother's name, Michael. And she had basically put in her profile that she was like super active and loves the outdoors and all this stuff. It turns out that her idea of an exciting Saturday afternoon involves a bowl of popcorn and a remote control.
So he might have got catfished.
he did, except the pictures were correct, you know, and if not, maybe strategically shot, you know, you never know.
That's part of catfishing.
Yeah, indeed. Well, that's good stuff. Well, I'm actually kind of glad to hear that, you know, that somebody's getting a handle on it. Because I guess the amount of harassment that goes on a lot of these dating sites, you know, if, you know, say a guy reaches out and you know, says he wants a date. Says he wants a date and gets rejected, and then turns around and sexually or harasses the, you know, the person. They don't really have any security, you know, in place for that. So facecrook.com.
Yeah, Aaron just handed me a note that said facecrook.com.
Face so crooks, plural.
Crooks. Ooh.
So face, it looks like they have some write-ups on how to lock down your account and additional information.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it was like a post office wall for people that had been catfishing. Beware of these known catfishers, right?
Oh, you have to be vigilant.
Facecrook.com. Okay.
Facecrooks, yes. With an S.
Okay.
If your password for Facebook is the let me in, go ahead and change that now.
123.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exclamation point. Whatever the silly validations they have on
how
there.
About I love Rover?
One.
Yeah. That's like
the exclamation top 10. Mark.
I downloaded the list of the top 10 million passwords. So okay. Just for fun.
The top 10 million.
Top 10 million.
Okay.
What's the top number one?
I'll have to go look again.
I think it's password.
Password one.
Yeah,
two, three.
It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or password. Those are like top three.
Okay. Well, anybody out there can go to facecrooks.com and learn how to lock down your Facebook account for maximum privacy and security. Thank you to Aaron for bringing that in to us.
Yeah.
Right. We know what that music means.
Yep. Thank you, Jonathan Stokely, for your time here today.
Yep. And I would just like to encourage anybody that's free on Thursday at 7 p.m. to come to the 3rd Street Center to support the entrepreneurs competing for a chance to win $10,000 in startup funds.
That's drama.
Valley drama.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Have a great week, everyone.